Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. This week's guests are the two lads from Asian Not Asian podcast, Fumi Abe and Mike Nguyen. These lads are absolutely hilarious. I was delighted to get them on. I love their podcast. So for this episode, we talked about dishonesty in regards to straight guys, also about emotion boners, love bombing, fleshlights, dick pics, and whether or not to block a past lover. So yeah, enjoy the episode. Before I start it, I will just say, if you guys want to sign up to the Patreon, you know, it's the first of the month, so there's 4 extra solo spill the tea apps, as they say over here in America. I don't know if we say that in Ireland. I'm not sure where the saying came from, but they're more like gossipy sort of dating over here in a pandemic in New York City. And then also we're 2 eps ahead right now on the Patreon, but usually an ep ahead. So next week's episode is already up there. The video's up there and the audio's gone up tonight with Dr. Bat Sheva. She's a sex therapist, and she has a great book coming out called Sex Points. So I read it and we had a great chat about what that's all about. And then also tomorrow I'll be recording an episode with Casey Belsham, a comedian here, and an Irish actress that I met over here. So we're going to address a listener's question and then just have the chat. So if you have any other questions, messaging, email, everything will be in the description of this episode. But other than that, I love you and enjoy the episode.
Great.
Ah, it's so good to have you lads. Okay, we'll start.
We are lads. Lads.
You are lads. And I'll do your intro before, so you don't need to worry about that. But do you know the reason I wanted you guys on specifically? Well, other than the fact that I'm obsessed with your podcast, Instagram and TikTok clips. I just love them. They're so good. They bring me so much joy.
Thank you.
But most recently, the one that you shared about can't trust straight guys. Sorry, I had to read it there because I couldn't remember the name of it. But you know that clip where you're talking about how you can't trust straight guys and how they'll just tell you as a woman what you want to hear?
Yeah.
Can we go into that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, of course. That's what we specialize in. Yeah.
Are you both? You're both straight guys. I know you both have girlfriends.
Oh yeah.
You might be bi.
Dude. No.
We're pretty straight.
I wish. No, yeah. I don't. But
it's our only flaw, really.
What's that?
It's our only flaw, being straight.
We're basically straight. Basic straight, as in regular old straight, boring.
Okay. Is that okay? Is that okay to say these days?
Cool?
Who knows?
I hope so.
It's fine. You're. It's fine. Cause yeah. Wait, Mike. You have a long-term girlfriend, right?
Married.
You're married. That's a long term.
I guess you could say you could call her a long term girlfriend. Yeah, for sure.
And you're not in an open relationship.
No, just a regular, you know,
just a
legal
marriage. Run of the mill.
Regular marriage.
So legal, man. That contract was thick.
I didn't have a priest. I'm Catholic. I was, but I didn't get a priest or anything. Just my buddy. You know,
it's great. So. And wait, so how long have you been married to your wife?
We've been married, how long? 3 years? No, she's not listening. 3-ish years? Actually, our anniversary just happened.
I fucking hate it when couples do that, by the way. It annoys me so much.
Oh, sorry. Sorry that we keep track of when we're together. How long have you been in your open relationship? Oh,
you know,
it doesn't matter because it's not real.
It's such a funny thing, though. Every married couple.
But I actually have no idea. So, but we've been together like 10, 12 years or something.
See, that's a long time, especially like someone who lives in New York. Long. That's a huge commitment. A lot of people don't like to commit that long. What made you be okay? Well, other than finding the love of your life. Did you not get scared of the big commitment?
You know, I never thought of it as that. I never thought of it as, you know, oh, I'm going to do this. It's just like for a long time, it was just like, oh, this is, it's like every day was like, every day was pretty good. That's really what it was. It was like, oh, this is pretty good still. And that's really the only thing. There was one thing that sort of catalyzed me going, oh, I want to get married. I like had a, you know, like a weird day at work. And I was like, this is stupid. I hate everything. I hate you. I hate you. I hate everybody in the city. And I was like, but I just want to stay with one person. And as long as that person's cool with it and in my life, then I'm okay with that. So that's generally true. But like the relationship, the long-term relationship thing, I never was like, you know, there wasn't like a goal for that, I guess you could say. It was just like, I'm going along and I guess I wasn't really thinking about it. And it just kind of kept being good, you know? So that's really what the key thing is.
I think that's the best way to do it, because I think people like men in New York City are always like, you're not even girlfriend, boyfriend. And they're like freaking out about if they call you their girlfriend, that you're going to want to get married in a month or something. You're like, whoa, calm down. It's like they're seven steps ahead instead of just going with the flow.
Yeah. My camera's gone. Oh, well, I definitely feel like, I mean, I've been in other relationships which are, you know, I was like, yeah, this is the one, you know, it's going to be awesome. And we can't wait for all this to, you know, to do all these things. I have all these plans. We're going to like elope and we do all these things. And it just like fucking crashed and burned. It was crazy. Yeah. So that's it.
And what about, I'm sorry. So don't even worry about it. And for Fumi, for you, you just got out of a long-term serious relationship, but you were open for the last year. And now you're a single man.
I'm a single man.
Happy though.
I'm a single man. Does that sound happy to you, Katie? I'm singing. You know what's interesting? I obviously was kind of sad for the first 2 days, but you know, I think there's something wrong with my head. I love being alone more than anything in the world. And so it's been really nice. Not alone as in like, ooh, I'm sad. I'm crying. But like, I think in New York, sometimes like, time can just get away from you because you're just hustling or whatever it is that you're doing. And now that I live alone, I don't have roommates. I don't have anyone I have to check in with. It's just been really nice to have extra time to like, honestly, at the end of the night, I'd be like, I could watch Pornhub or I could read this book. It's up to me, you know? And it's been really nice. Just like, it's like, I'm in love with time is what I figured out through this whole thing. You know, it's great. So I would say that, you know, when, you know, as Mike was saying, you know, it's like every day it was pretty good. I think sometimes in New York, you can get stuck in that pattern, but every day is like just fine, you know? And I think it was like that for a long time. And then I finally just kind of, I think the quarantine kind of forced us to not do that and be like, hey, it's just fine is not okay. You know? And we kind of stepped out of it. So hey, you know, I'm out here reading, watching porn. It's a good time, man.
I think that's a good thing that you just mentioned as well, because I remember one time my dad came and visited me. I can't say that word, visited. He visited me in America. And I'd always be kind of like hoping to get into a relationship. Like the older I get, the more I'm like cutting them off early and kind of like happy enough to kind of be alone than being something toxic. But when he came to visit, he was like, oh, there's something for being alone. And no one tells you that that's actually okay. And like to really enjoy that as well. Because then if you do end up having kids, you're kind of, your independence is completely taken away. Or if you are in a relationship, so just enjoy it. He was basically like, if you stay a spinster, Katie, it's fine. I was like,
a spinster. Damn, that sounds harsh.
He didn't say that, but he kept being like, it's okay to be alone.
I mean, I don't know. I think New York is weird because I think, well, not New York, but I think a lot of people have a certain type of personality where they like need to be with other people a lot, you know, with or without a partner. And I think that's what I think we're told through medias and TV shows and movies, is that you have to have somebody all the time. But recently I've been just thinking about like, hey, that person could just be my sister, you know, that person could be my friend. It doesn't have to be this loved you know, this like romantic partner, you know? So, yes, I'm right now. I'm very anti-relationship right now. It's a good time.
Yeah. And like, that makes sense. You just got out of something very long term. And as well for you, let's say if you meet someone in 10 years, what are you, 30?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm 31.
Okay. So if you meet someone in 9 years, you're 40, you could still spend like another 40 years with that person. So if you're not under, you know what I mean? If you're not under pressure to have kids.
That's a great point. That is so much time. Ugh, God, you get married at 40. Then you got to spend. Yeah. I mean, the average person lives to like 75, 35 more years with that person. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. Not into that idea. Maybe I might get married when I'm like 50, you know?
Yeah, it all just depends on. Yeah. I think it's more pressure for women if you want to have kids, but I'm going to decide dry up, like 38. I'll make that decision.
Yeah, then. I mean, that's a great point. This is a luxury that men have, you know, because I don't have to think about it. I mean, it's not necessarily true because there's a lot of scientific studies done about autism. It's caused by old sperm. Listeners,
whoa,
think about that. Yeah.
Know that.
Well, my ex-partner used to work in that industry and she would always talk about it, but anyways, so there's that. But you know, we have more options, and I think for women it's like, oh, I want to have a kid when I'm 35. Well, you have to figure it out in the next 5 years, you know.
Oh my god, stop. I know, and it's times got so fast. Like I just turned 30 a second ago, but it was last October. I'm like pushing 31. Oh my god, Stephanie, I don't even
holy shit, I don't know you were my age. I thought you were like 25, Katie.
Oh, thank you.
That's not me being nice. I just thought, that's just what I thought.
Good. Well,
I guess you were really good at not telling me your age when we first met in comedy.
Yeah, I just don't think anybody ever asked. I don't know.
That's true.
And I woke up like, hi, I'm Katie. I'm 25. I would have been 25 when I met you. I was just frozen in time for you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but I do want to ask you about not being able to trust straight guys. Do you think that's true? Or obviously it's just a joke. All the straight guys are like, shut up, Katie.
Do we want to talk about this? Because we got in trouble for this a little bit.
No, we didn't get in trouble.
Tell me the trouble.
We just need to clear something up.
Okay, well, let me preference for the, because I have a lot. We actually have a heavy male listenership. Like, it's like equal.
Oh, really?
equal ladies, equal men. And then like a percentage of haven't, you know, I guess they don't identify as either. This is in the statistics, but it's equal that. So for the straight men, when I said that, I was quoting what they put on their Instagram. It's these two. I haven't said that.
You need to cancel us. Yes.
Oh, but go on, you got in trouble?
No. Well, okay. We didn't get in trouble. We just have to have a lot of like caveats. I feel like every time we say something, we have to like show them like a preamble of things, just so people know we're not being bad. But essentially, you know, I think as the culture started shitting on straight guys, I think straight guys took that as a cue to be like, oh, that's funny. Haha. I guess I'll shit on myself for being a straight guy. But then when the straight guys started doing that, we got in trouble because it's not okay for straight guys to joke about being shit.
Oh, right.
Like, it's like the
wait,
the
who says it's not okay? The straight guys or other people?
Just like women and really? Other people. I've heard not all of them, just like some people.
I thought that clip was so funny. Hold on here.
I want to hear who you heard this from.
It's in our fucking DMs, Mike. You didn't read the DMs?
Were they in Brooklyn? Are they in Brooklyn?
Because if they're in Brooklyn, it doesn't count.
Yeah, our listeners are Irish.
Yeah, do I think I'm going to upset some Irish people? Absolutely not. But, you know, if somebody's listening to this from Reed College in Oregon, they're going to be infuriated. Absolutely going to be infuriated.
You could literally be slagging off Irish people on this, Irish men, and they'll be just like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't say this, but the analogy I understood was like, for straight guys to be like, you can't trust straight guys because we're shitty, joke, is like Hitler being like, I can't stop killing Jews, I'm a shitty guy. That's what I understood from this person's comment. I was like, I mean, no. I guess I don't fucking know.
We gotta tell the joke. So the whole idea is that you can't trust a straight guy until he comes, right? Mm-hmm. Before he comes, he will say anything. After he comes, he'll tell you if he cheats on his taxes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So like, and you know, et cetera, and all the logic that goes along with it.
I think that's so funny.
Right.
I mean, it's I mean, I'm sorry for those liberal people, but like, it is true. Like, you, like, it legit is true. If you ever go on a date with somebody and you're a woman, you know that before you give them sex,
he's looking you right in the eye.
Yeah, he's like, I'm all about family. I love learning four languages.
Hey, you want to live? Hey, you know, you look the straight guy in the eye and be like, oh yeah, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, moving to New Zealand. And he'll be like, yeah, for sure. New Zealand's tight, dude.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
I was just thinking that. You know what? Matter of fact, I will buy the, you know what I'm saying?
I'll buy tickets right now, dude. Baby, I'll buy tickets.
Yeah, he'll buy tickets right now. He'll be like, oh my gosh, dude, I'm actually part Maori, you know? Oh, dude, love it. As soon as he jizzes, man, he'll just fucking,
even if
you're 3 minutes.
Even if you're on the plane to New Zealand, if he jizzes on the plane, he'll just jump off. He'll be like, I'm out.
He'll just jump off the plane. He'll be like, oh shit, actually, I'm allergic to islands. Okay, I gotta go. And he'll just leave. Bye. And he'll jump right out of the airplane to his death. He doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah,
so,
and like, I've dated like the worst of the worst. I definitely attract, someone sent me this thing that made me feel better about myself, but like, that nice people attract kind of shitty people. It's like laws of attraction. I'm like, cool, thank you, I'm gonna go with that. But I have attracted a lot of shitty guys, and one guy never told me about his girlfriend, and he didn't tell me about his girlfriend because he knew I wouldn't have fucked him if I had known he was a girl. I asked him, I was like, are you dating anybody? And he was like, no, I go on dates. Motherfucker had a girlfriend for 2 years. And then he started saying it was like open, but like, he would have just told me that. But I, even if it is open, I think he still wouldn't have told me because he knew I wouldn't have slept with him. So,
dude, there's a huge case. This, you know what? There's a COVID pandemic, but there's also an honesty pandemic happening in America right now. Okay. Like, it's really crazy. Like, I mean, obviously in that example, people came out unscathed. Maybe your heart was hurt a little bit, Katie, and that's not cool. But like, I mean, we've had some people on the podcast who've told stories about like, oh, a man lied to me about seeing other people. I have herpes now, you know, like, yeah. Like, right. You know, like a man lied to me about being in an open relationship and I fell in love with him and I wasted my 20s. You know what I mean? Like I'm not going to say that I think that, you know, it's someone, if you don't disclose that, that's not consensual. You know what I mean?
No. I dated a guy and he didn't tell me he had herpes. Now, he told me he loved me, but he didn't tell me he had fucking herpes. And now I didn't catch it, and I'm not going to shame herpes, but I have enough fucking issues. I don't want to be also dealing with herpes, of course, you know? But like, and the thing is, I'm so open. I have a sex podcast. If he hadn't have told me and just like filled me in, I just would have known how to protect myself. Now I just I found the tablets. That was it. But my dad was like, it's battery. Do you know, if you don't tell, And then I looked it up in New York and it is technically battery. Like, if you know, and you don't disclose,
because
it's a life term, you know, something you have to deal with for your life. So that and AIDS or HIV.
This? Straight dudes are turning their penises are weapons, and they're turning it. It's battery now. Okay. Register your penis, guys. Go out there, register it at the state courthouse.
Yo, I'm just
like, listen, I am out of control with this thing.
Yo, who are these guys out there with unregistered penises? Okay? What are you doing?
You walking around without registration?
Sir, put that away.
sir, I need to see your license and registration.
And your cock.
Your penis. Okay, hold on here, sir. This is clearly not yours. Okay.
Oh my God.
I don't know. What are you saying?
There's a barcode.
This is registered to another woman, actually.
That's good.
We do a little beep as they come in. But so I'll give you the thing. When they can't trust straight guys, I saw that a while back, and then I was going back through your Instagram and I was like, this is really interesting because something I just went through right now where I had an intense pandemic relationship. And long story short, it was only 7 weeks. But from the start, he was like, I've never felt about another woman the way I feel about you. He said that we must have met in a past life, even though I think I'm
that's some pre-jizz conversation right there.
I know. I'm like, baby, I'm brand new. Okay. There's no past lives. But he also said like our souls
and ghosts, you know, he'll just say stuff like, what the fuck?
But like our souls had a big connection, blah, blah,
blah.
Wow. Wait. So fast forward 7 weeks, I meet up with him. He kind of had this whole like little freak out, and then we meet up and he like gives me a little present, and he's like, you know, he's just been saying about how he feels like he's not been super honest. Okay. And he's also currently reading The Truth About Dishonesty. And he has this book in his fucking bag with him. And then I'm like, okay, cool. I was like, you know, you can just talk to me about things. And he starts going, I don't think I like you. And I was like, what? This is like, whoa. And he was like, I think I've been lying to you about my feelings. And I was like, why would you do that? And he was like, oh, I was telling you what I thought you wanted to hear. And I was like, well,
wow.
Whew. I was like, this is a lot. And then he was like, I'm just trying to be honest. And I'm like, well, I don't know. So it was very, and then there was a lot more. He kind of like did like a whole dramatic thing. And I was like, I just like exited myself because I
I'm sorry. Can I wait? Unless you've already discussed this on the podcast.
No, I've done it on the
really dramatic thing.
I've done it on the Patreon, so the regular listeners wouldn't have heard of it. But so basically, I guess what happened was...
You don't have to talk about it. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's fine. Because it kind of what I wanted to bring to you was kind of like that about honesty and stuff like that. Oh, also as well, this guy, he had signed up for my Patreon and now he's deleted it since. But his Patreon bio was Soldier of Honesty. I'm like, dude, you're like the trash man of honesty. What are you talking about?
Yo, also, it's such a straight guy move to for everything is just like a soldier of something.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like he decided to tell the truth once and he's like, oh, you're a warrior for truth, son.
I mean, but you were like, lying.
Everything is just so over the top. Just kind of...
you just dog, admitted you know, to lying to me.
You know,
for
like
seven
God's
weeks.
Soldier of truth. You're like, yeah. Please.
Yeah, what did she do, Jonathan? Well, this woman dropped a wallet and I gave it back to her once. So
hashtag soldier of truth. MMA fighter of justice. Please.
The whole thing was so bizarre because what happened was, let's say, we met up on a Saturday. So that's the Saturday before. I don't know when this will come out, but and he was just not present. He was really weird and he's very overthinky. Like he's always like, are you okay? Oh, the place I wanted to go is not open. And then he like interrupts me a few times. And then I realized like all of our dates, he's like showered me with gifts, showered me with like affectionate words and text messages. But when he's actually with me, he's not really present. The only time he was like actually good crack, like good fun, was like after sex when he was like more comfortable. So I was like, what is going on? He had me on this like pedestal. And he's just like, so he would say sentences that doesn't make sense. Like just, you know, when people are really awkward, but it's like 7 weeks at this stage. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? So I said that to him. I was like, the next day I talked to him and I was like, you are being like very, very, you're still very awkward. You're still very uncomfortable. I don't know how to make you more comfortable because I've given him like a lot of reassurance. He'd also gotten quite emotional in the couple of weeks about his like private life, which is just like a lot to deal with. Right. And I was like, I just don't know what to do anymore. And like, I need you to be present. I don't need the gifts. I don't need anything other than you just being present when we hang out. We could just be like in a park. It doesn't need to be anything special. And he goes, oh, you're making me feel really sad now. I feel really depressed. And I was like, okay, don't be like self-absorbed. Don't make this about you. This is about us. I'm telling you the problem so we can fix it. Anyway, he rolled with me saying, don't be so self-absorbed. It was just something I said. I didn't think anything of it. Fast forward a couple of hours later, he's deleted his Instagram. He texts me saying, I deleted my Instagram so that I'm not self-absorbed. And I'm like, this is very dramatic.
Whoa.
What are you doing? And I'm like, redo your Instagram. Like, I'm like, if you say to people, oh, I deleted my Instagram because the girl I'm seeing, and I never even said that.
Yeah.
Like, you look crazy.
That's so insane. Also, just real quick, shout out to all the women out there for listening to dudes' problems. That's like a, oh my gosh.
I know.
I can't imagine. Like, dude.
Yeah, just like, oh, I can't pass this level on Assassin's Creed. And
dudes will do this thing when they're talking, like, because I think it's because maybe a lot of dudes don't have good relationships with their other guy friends and they don't listen to each other's emotions. So when a girl has like a little bit of time, they just barf up all their emotions and they're like, now your turn, and they expect you to just like, you know, unload everything too.
Right.
And
even I think actually what's happening with this guy is I am curious, was this an Asian dude, because this will affect the answer, but I just wanted to
know. And
okay, that's totally fine. It's totally fine, but
love Asian dudes, so
yeah, I know, we'll get there.
Oh, not fetishizing, no, I just love dudes,
don't worry.
He's actually he's Latino, and my sister called me and she goes, where is he from? And I go, he's Latino. And she goes, oh, I don't think you should date Latinos. You should date Hispanic men. And I go, Liza, that's the same thing. And she was like, I didn't know what a Latino was.
Just good old classic Irish, man. I love it. Great.
We should be canceling her sister. Don't cancel us. Cancel her sister.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, to Fumi's point, I think that, you know, a lot of dudes, you know, hey, we're straight guys, and this is true for a lot of straight guys. Whatever you want to talk about, toxic masculinity, we can put that aside for a second and just get down to a lot of us don't know how to handle our emotions.
Yeah.
We don't know how to do it. Such that like, you know, Fumi and I, we have a hard time communicating with each other because we're two straight dudes. We don't know how to talk about our feelings. and like, if you like someone, if you like a girl, then all you can go to is like, okay, what are the things that I've seen in rom-coms? You know,
right,
like, oh, I'm going to give her a lot of flowers. I'm going to do all these things because that's how I'm supposed to do my feelings. And you end up, you know, then that adds a layer of like inauthenticity to it. But mm-hmm. it, you know, it comes down to, you know, this guy, it sounds like he was trying to understand himself. He wasn't being honest with himself, and then he brings you into it, unfortunately, and then all of a sudden that adds another whole thing, and then you add whatever else on top of that, relationships and stuff. And ultimately, like, I don't think there is, I haven't seen one except just good old-fashioned therapy where a regular ass straight dude needs to be able to be okay with admitting all these feelings, not just like I'm feeling happy or sad or vulnerable, but just like any emotions. How do I talk to, how do I feel about my guy friends? How do I feel about my dog? How do I feel about you? How do I feel about whatever? And there isn't really a lot of channels for that. It's either, you know, you look at pop culture and it's either I'm going to get super mad and like, you know, punch the wall, or I'm going to like drive around recklessly in my souped up Integra, or I'm going to, you know, die in a world war. That's like really the only emotions that we have, men have, you know, in pop culture, it feels, you know.
And you can't really enlist after 25. So it's really a big issue.
It's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard. It's, you know, how many times I've tried to enlist? Yeah. I mean, I was just like, man, I am so sad. I think I'll become a Marine, you know?
Yeah,
just,
Mike got sad at work and he tried to enlist in the Army.
I looked it up and they don't take people my age anymore. Okay. In the Air Force reserves will take people up to 42. So I still have one more chance. If I get sad, I'm going to become Airman Mike Nguyen. Okay. Don't be careful. Don't make me sad. I'll join. But anyways, to be honest, it's tough to deal with your emotions. And I think that's a key part of any relationship.
No, and that's exactly what it was. It got very intense. And then for him, but he also is a heard things that weren't true, if that makes sense. Like he went, I won't get into it too much, but like he went to his friends and said, me calling him self-absorbed made him feel like a narcissist, which is not what I had said and not what I even thought. And then didn't come to me. And then when he did, he felt much better. But then when we met up afterwards and we were like kind of fine, but he just started to have a panic attack. He said he didn't understand his feelings. He wasn't sure if he even liked me. He was like, you know, he was just feeling very negative and like,
right.
But I think it was just like you said, like not all, because I had said like, oh, I don't need all the gifts and stuff. I'd like just rather get to know you and spend quality time. I think he just felt like, well, he had been doing the wrong thing for like the 7 weeks, right. Which wasn't, but he just like he literally had a panic attack. And I was like, he was like grabbing his chest. And I was like, I was like literally talking to him like he was a child. I was like, don't even worry about it. Like, we don't even have to date after tonight. We can, I bought
Jesus,
tickets.
Jesus, Katie. The things you do for Dick. That's
Katie,
too much.
I bought tickets for an art museum. I was going to the art museum and we were on the way there. So I was like, let's just not worry about it. We'll just go to the art museum.
Oh, I see.
This is pretty much over after that anyway. So, you know, and then that was it, you know, and then in the art museum, he just kept talking about it. And he was like, I just don't know how I feel, but I still want to try. And I was like, I don't really want to now after this because it should be just fun. And then he was like, well, what should I do? And I was like, end it. Like, if you're having a panic attack, it's over.
I used to hear stories like that and I'd be like, what? That sounds made up to me. It's like, how do you not know if you like somebody or do you're just doing these things because you're supposed to feel like it? My sister, she was engaged before and the guy, he ended up like leaving her or like they broke it off. But that guy said the same thing. He was like, my sister was like, why did you propose then if you didn't want to get married or didn't like me that much? And he was like, I just thought I would make you happy. And she was like, well, what? Like, lying does not make me happy. Like, now my family's involved. Like, there's money involved because we fucking booked the wedding venue. Like, what are you fucking talking about? And like, you know, this guy, I think he's a little older than me too. And when I heard that, that was like the second time I had heard something like that. And I was like, I guess this really is, you know, that's not something I would do. But, you know, I've also spent a couple of years like working on being more honest, at least at the basic level of like, I can tell somebody if I like them or not. But I think for a lot of dudes, like they are still like very infantry when it comes to like, you know, infant, like when it comes to being honest with your emotions to a point where they can't even figure out if they want to marry somebody.
Yeah. Fumi said, you know, we are infantry. Okay. We're also mechanized infantry and tank sometimes when we enlist because we can't deal with our feelings. Okay.
Yes.
you hit it right on the head Fumi is changing his relationship status because he's being more honest. And the thing is that this is a very stupid, it sounds stupid, but I don't know if you've ever gone shopping before and you're like, man, I really want to buy some new jeans or something like that. And you go to around the mall and you walk around and you really want to spend that, you know, $50 that you have in your pocket. And the worst feeling is sometimes you're like, you're ready for it. You're ready to buy the jeans. And then you leave the mall with nothing, empty handed.
Yeah.
And that is as bad a feeling of being alone, essentially, for a lot of people, which is completely understandable, is a worse feeling than being with someone who you like, but don't like, you know, because being alone is very daunting for most people.
Right.
And also breaking up with someone and admitting that you've spent X amount of years or months or weeks or whatever investing in something. That's very hard to come to terms to.
Oh,
that's
perfect. Absolutely. No. That's great. Like I feel like this is the first time after that, because I'm always in like 2 months, 3 months relationships. I'm always dating somebody that I was just like, I really don't want to date anybody again. Like, and when we were leaving, he was like, you're handling this really well. You're not mad. Well, it's I'm a 30-year-old woman. I'm not going to break down in front of some guy. It's only been 2 months. Chill, lad. I get that level of emotion out of me.
You're not joining the Marines. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's fine. And then he was like, why aren't you mad at me? And I was like, cause you saved me a ton of time. Like it could have been, he could have done to me what now he still shouldn't have fucking done it, but whatever, you know, I got a massage out of it. So it's fine. But he bought me a massage once when he was like annoyed or he was upset with Fumi's sister. Like I could have been like Fumi's sister. It's like, you know, anytime that someone shows you their true colors and they're like, hey, you want to dodge this bullet, you're like, thank you, yeah, let me dodge. Fuck
yeah.
I
think that's totally true. What was the something you said? It's like, I can't remember now, but yeah, I think too as in New York, it's even harder because there's so many what you might think of as opportunities for a relationship, right? But you know, like you're in the mall all the time and they're always out there shopping.
And the mall keeps expanding too. There's new shops coming out, you know.
More shops come move in and more shops are out there and everything like that. But I think, you know, especially as you get older, I mean, I think apps make it even worse too, because now you're on the app and like things are coming to you and you got all this stuff. But if you really think about, I think, how many people you really have a connection with, that probably, even in a city like New York City, you might meet someone like that once a year where you're like, wow, this
person's lucky.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
I'm not just talking about like sex. I'm not just, there's plenty of hot people in New York City. That's a huge problem, but we really need to put them all somewhere. I don't know, maybe like underground or something, but it's a person you really connect with, like where you're like, wow, this is like, you know, it's giving me an emotion boner, is like, that's a very unusual thing. And it happens only a few times, I would say a year, even if you're out all the time. I think that's, huh?
I mean, what? You know, even the three of us were comedians. We've met literally thousands of people in the last five, 6 years doing comedy. But how many are like have become good friends of yours? For me, maybe like three, you know, and I've literally met hundreds of comedians over 6 years. Right. And so technically that's less than one person a year. So like, yeah, I mean, I think everything changes when the context is New York, too, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also, as well, with this thought I bring up with you guys, the topic of love bombing.
Love bombing?
Have you heard about that?
No, what's that mean?
Okay, so it's a thing, in one of these new terms, basically, where someone will shower you with affectionate words, maybe gifts, just tell you, like, be like, oh, you're like my soulmate, a really intense connection, but it's not real. It's just to get you hooked. And then usually they end up discarding you afterwards. But I'd never heard of it until I was telling my friend this kind of story. And they were like, oh, it sounds like love bombing. And I was like, what? I'm getting on.
Wait, Google. I'm sorry. Is the love bombing, is the objective sex? Is that why?
No, it's the objective. Okay, so it's usually, I watched this psychologist lady and she said the reason for love bombing is usually a guy will or a girl will see something special in you, and they try to get you into the relationship and like give you loads of affection and tell you how great you are, because when you're giving them, it makes them feel special. Does that make sense? So it's kind of like,
am I phrasing that
right? It's usually narcissists who do that, and I'm not calling the last guy I was dating a narcissist, God, if he ever hears this, because since he thought that originally, I'm not saying that, but it's a similar thing where you're like, you have someone on a pedestal and you want like their
affection. So you're just, you're love bombing them, but it's not real. It's not really how you feel. Mm. You're just throwing all this affection and love at them.
That's interesting. First of all, love bomb sounds like a shitty, like a suplex move from WWE or some shit, you know?
Sounds like something shitty for
your
bathtub.
Love bomb! like somebody puts their asshole in your face or something. I can kind of understand that. I don't do that, but it must be like an amplified version of like, sometimes if I like pay for somebody, I do feel good about myself. Like sometimes, you know?
Oh no, but yeah, that's it. But I think when I was reading it, I was like, do I love bomb? Because I'm always like, oh, you're so handsome, having a great time. But I think it's more that when it's like that infatuation, like, oh, we're like soulmates and you've only like met each other very quickly. Like the psychologist was saying that actually like a slow burn is usually more healthy than this kind of like intense, oh my God, you know, you're the one, like within a couple of days and you're like, oh great, love to be the one, and then a couple of months later like I was not the one.
I mean we're Fumi and I were Asian, okay? Being bombed is our specialty, okay? This is our thing, okay?
Am I gonna cancel them for bringing up love bombing around Asian lives?
not at all
we love it.
This is what we do, we thrive in bombs. Individually bombed in, you know, different ways by different colonizers, so it's been amazing.
So was Ireland. Yeah, we weren't technically, I don't think they threw bombs at us, but they did use Ireland for the first to test out rubber bullets.
Rubber bullets?
Honey,
we're talking A-bombs, okay?
But okay. but still.
Like we are not the same.
We're talking people's skins peeling off because of the temperature. Okay.
No, but
Girl, you're talking about rubber bullets, and I'm talking about radiation.
They did colonize Ireland. There was a lot of murder and rapes, okay? No, you're totally right.
You're totally right. For sure.
Yes.
It was a famine at one stage. Okay, yours is worse, but whatever.
Yes, no, but I understand. I tend. We don't want to compare strategies. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this kind of almost reminds me of you know, I don't know, like I think people like sometimes they get into like, you know, I mean, I'm certainly was one of those people who like gets really intense into relationships very quickly, you know, because I like feeling something, you know.
I think
feeling something, you know. I think that's what a lot of people are really chasing. Even the relationship with my wife it's worked out over long term too, but at the very beginning it was also very intense. Because we had a lot of history and some distance and all the stuff, so like that. So I think it's I feel a strategy, you know. It's hard to take things slow if you feel like are connecting with someone, or maybe even not. Maybe you just feel like, okay, if I really do this and I feel like I want to get out of this mall. I just want to buy these jeans. I want to do this, you know, and I want to, maybe I can convince myself that this is the one, you know, and I think maybe that's happening.
Yeah.
Like, it can be kind of.
They want to try to force it just to feel something. Yeah.
So that's maybe what the last guy did with me. But for me, it's kind of exhausting then, because I've had like so many intense small relationships that I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think I'd have to go slow on the next thing. Just take it a bit. It's just too much.
Do you feel like, you know, I think when I was in a relationship, my biggest insecurity was that we had only ever dated each other. And so every time we would go through something, it would be difficult.
Oh, right.
We would always say, well, I don't know what it's supposed to be because I don't have a reference point. You're my first girlfriend. So I don't know how other people do it. I don't know how other women react to what I'm saying. You know, do you feel like since you've dated a lot in New York, you're at a point where like, you know, if we're looking at a scatter plot graph, if you will, you've got a lot of points that you can draw a line of best fit.
I feel like I've learned like how to react in different situations and what's the best way, because it's usually for making a mistake, being like, okay, well, I shouldn't bring that up this way, I shouldn't bring that up that way. And I feel like I've gotten to a point where I'm really able to articulate what I want and what I need, and just able to be like,
that's such a good way to think about it too. I think there is this, it doesn't sound real, but there is like a way of fighting, you know, like you have to learn how to argue and do it so that, you know, because ultimately, you know, a fight is supposed to be a conflict that gets resolved, right? You know, it could take years for it to work itself out, but you know, sometimes people, they just feel mad or they feel hurt, and that ends up kind of overtaking everything else. You know, when you're hurt, you kind of want the other person to hurt too. It's kind of a weird fucked up thing, but like when you get hurt, you want the other person to get hurt. And it takes a lot of experience and maturity to be like, I'm hurt, but I don't want that to be like the headlining thing. I want it to like inform this other thing I'm going to work out with this other person. And, you know, it's not easy to do that. You know, usually you end up just like throwing, you know, I don't know, things at each other and nothing gets solved there. So like, you know,
I also think is that like a lot of fights, a lot of the guys I've dated and like, you know, would experience after a while, I found out that whatever fight they were having with me was just their own projected insecurity.
Exactly.
And it's like, or they thought, like, if I say a sentence to you guys, I could actually, you could interpret it a million different ways. So I think the healthiest way is just to be like, wait, sorry, what did you mean? And just let the person like re-clarify or be like, hey, I actually have like real insecurities about my arse and you made a joke that my arse is kind of flat, could you just not do that again? And there you go, problem solved.
They got very specific. Okay.
And if this motherfucker I just couldn't think of anything, but if this motherfucker keeps bringing up your flat arse, then you know, okay. Well, it's the same with being like, I think there's like strength and vulnerability. So you know, everybody's like, oh, I'm afraid to be vulnerable in case the person hurts me, and it's like, be vulnerable. And if they use that against you, so if I say, you know, I haven't spoken to my mother in 13 years, and it was a very abusive relationship, and I'm very happy that I'm out of it, and she was, you know, she was quite like mentally unstable, and if I'm dating a guy for a couple of months and he'll just never bring that up, or he could if he uses that against me, then I'm like, thank you, you've just shown to me that I don't want to be with you, motherfucker. Like, you know, so being vulnerable is also a strength, because my dad says the saying, give someone enough rope and he says they'll hang themselves, but you're hoping they won't, you know.
Right. No.
I don't know if that's sense. A PC saying.
No, I've heard it before. Yeah, I think jeez, yeah. Don't make fun of Katie's ass, everybody. Jeez,
it's fine.
Oh, my ass! Nobody's actually said that to me before. I just was watching a video.
Okay.
I was watching a video before about someone giving out about having to take arses or something, and I was like, "Oh, I'd love a thick arse." That was it. That was not a real thing. But if I picked a real thing, the listeners would be messaging me, being like, "You have beautiful teeth. You have beautiful forehead." You know what I mean? So I didn't want to. I wanted to pick something as obscure, but now as I'm saying it, they're going to be like, "Katie, I love your arse."
Sometimes I'll
post jokes, and they'll message me being like, "It's okay," and I'm like, "God, that joke must have really bombed because they actually just don't." They're like worried.
Yeah, you definitely don't want that in stand up. You don't want that. Oh, no. Please, no. Laugh at me. Like, laugh at my suffering.
It was
That's
a
not
joke.
What I want. Yeah, don't. Don't reassure me, okay? I didn't get into the game for that, you know?
Yeah.
No, I get that. No, that makes sense.
Okay, next topic. Is ready
okay,
for
perfect.
It?
Perfect. Yes. This is surprising. I was just listening to your podcast before, and the person you had on before was talking about anal beads and the correct use of them. And I was like, this is going to be our kind of podcast, Fumi.
Have you guys used sex toys?
Oh, have we?
Oh, yeah. Well, man, are you kidding me, dude? Man, Fumi and I have reached a new level.
Yeah,
we
have used it, but in the classic, you know, friendship way, it was kind of I've used the fleshlight, but in the alley oop kind of way. You know what I'm saying? Like,
so yeah, like, man. You know,
Mike alley ooped it for me.
Yeah, dude. You know, I was his Shaq, my Shaq to his Kobe. I was just like, whoop.
Basketball.
Oh, do you know what alley oop is? Alley oop is like
I know Jimmy Buckets.
I don't know what that is, but alley-oop is when like one player will throw it near the basket and another player will catch it in time and then score. So it's,
I don't know what the Gaelic football reference is, so I can't say.
It must have something like that for soccer.
It's kind of got something like that.
For Christmas, Mike bought me a, because he knows I'm a horn dog, he bought me a fleshlight.
Was it good?
Yes. Oh, and also it's because your favorite guest, one of my favorite guests as well, on our podcast, Asian Not Asian, is Asa Akira.
A porn star.
And she has her own...
She's a signature mold.
Signature fleshlight.
Vagina mold of her fleshlight. So, yes, in order to, support independent Asian artists.
You know? It's like, hey, if Katie came out with an album, I would buy her album. Okay.
That's exactly.
When
Asa
Akira comes out with a fleshlight, I'm a big, you know, I support.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope that she gets a royalty from that.
So he bought it for me and it came to my house and we made a little fun content with it. And then after we had the fun making content, I fucked it. And it's pretty intense. I mean, I think I've made some videos on TikTok with the fleshlight, which gets like what is it called? Kick, not banned.
Oh, like banned,
temporarily.
Okay. Really?
Then,
oh, wow.
It gets banned, but then I have to like write like a sex positive response, and then they usually put it back up.
Oh,
but it's like really intense. It's very large. It's not fun to clean and or maintain. So like, yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. I if there are any engineers out there, like if any like MIT engineers out there, like I feel like this is such a white space market opportunity, you know? Like
You're absolutely right. I mean, really, if you think about like I mean, I know there's a lot of sex toys for men, but they're not marketed to men, you know?
Yeah,
they need the Marines need to have one, okay?
Yes.
But you know, Marines buy flashlights.
Yeah. For when you join.
For when you join up and you're like want to
in your little
you
goodie bag,
bang your feelings or whatever.
You're gonna be alone for 2 years.
Yeah. So that was a fun one. And now the fleshlight is sort of like in unofficial third member of the podcast.
Do you lube it up before you put your dick in it?
Yeah, let me tell you the whole process. So what you do is first you gotta boil some water, lady. Okay, we gotta boil some water like you're making pasta. Okay,
why? Like you're making ramen here.
Okay, and then you dip the inside, which is the silicone part. You dip it in there, not a boiling temperature, just at warm temp. Okay, so that it can mimic the human body temperature, right? Then you take it out, you put it in this plastic casing, then you lube.
A lot.
Then you
so
you
much.
Yeah,
yeah. I feel like there needs to be. You know how like there is like, you know, instant ramen or instant spaghetti? There should be like an instant version of this, like a one-time use fleshlight.
Yeah, let's just microwave it real quick. I know.
In a microwave. and 1 minute in the microwave and then boom, it's ready to go. It's steaming. You got to throw it away though. Got to throw it away.
But that's the kind of invention I'm looking for because like, you know.
Let's go on a Shark Tank, dude.
If somebody, yeah, me and you on Shark Tank.
What's up?
It's the microwavable pussy. Micro
pussy. Yeah, yeah.
Wave pussy. But
don't got time.
Puss wave.
Yeah. Wave, yeah.
Maybe
Katie,
not
you're right. You got 10. You're in for 10%.
Because like there is something about like I mean I really wish that it could be the microwave would be a better solution because as a man when you're horny and you have an erection, like you feel silly doing anything else but jerking off. So if I'm hard and I'm boiling water, I feel I feel like an idiot.
You got like a tea fetish or something. You know, like, I can't wait to get this matcha going, baby. Oh, yeah.
Jasmine green tea, baby.
You know what I'm saying? And you're like, you got the timer going, and it's like, ding.
Yeah.
Green it's tea like, helps you're going, your
oh, it's ready.
On.
It's ready. Honey, it's ready. Honey. But yeah, you feel like an idiot. And like, you know, eventually, like, when you're doing the thing, it feels good. But like, you want to, as a man, if you have a hard on, you want to minimize the time between you have a hard on and I'm jerking off, right? You want that to be because that's when you feel the silliest. And so for Fleshlight, whoever's making that, to expect us to fucking whip out a pot and boil some water is a little insensitive, I think, in my opinion.
And so you know the way the vagina like molds to whatever cock is inside her. Does that happen with the Fleshlight? Like,
I think it's designed to be like quite graphic. Small, so that like it molds into your penis.
Wow.
Yeah, but it's what's funny is like it's like this long, and I believe it only comes in one size. And I've been like playing around with it, like on TikTok, just to like make jokes out of it. And I'm getting a lot of comments being like, "This guy's got a big dick." And it's like I always have to respond, be like, "It comes in one size, everybody. I'm very normal."
You just be like, "Yeah." Mike, have you used a sex toy?
I have, but just like you know, like a ring.
Okay. You know? They don't. Do they? What do they do to men?
Yeah. What do they do?
I don't know. Supposedly some people like the feeling of it being really like a tightness on the base. Right. I didn't get it. I tried it out and they're really cheap. You know, I was like, oh, it's $10. You can get a kind that has like a little vibrating thing. So, you know, it's kind of like a little extra, you know, guy that you're having sex with a woman, you know, that kind of helps out. Which
yeah,
is
but
cool,
it doesn't.
That sounds cool.
No, it doesn't because so I've used it once, but basically your penis is going in and out. So the vibrator keeps going away. Right. I'm like, no, come back. Come back.
Where are you going? Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Where are you going? Yeah, I
That's
mean,
so
honestly, I didn't think it was that interesting. I've not used the beads, but you know, according to your expert from last time, made it sound awesome, and I was like, dude, I had no idea that was what it was for. I don't know why I had no idea why. I was like, why are there beads? Like, I don't understand that. You know, so it sounded cool. I don't know if I guess I got to go and figure that out. But you know,
BRB.
Yeah, exactly. But
have you done
but, yeah, that
finger
cool.
in our stuff, Mike?
Oh yeah, dude. That's sweet, dude. Have you?
No, but I know that men like it. Some men like it.
I do. Yeah. I mean, okay, we're talking about vulnerability. Okay, mm-hmm. Men.
I don't know about you.
Get into it.
Yeah, man, you gotta you know, be okay with that sort of thing. You know, because it's a it is like a unexpected sensation.
Is it like finding an extra nugget in your McNuggets?
It's like, it's really like putting hot sauce on your nuggets. Okay. It's really like, whoa, I didn't know this. Some people are going to be like, this is too much. I'm not into this.
Yeah. I think because
some people are going to be like, you know, I liked hot sauce on my nuggets.
Yeah. Cause for women, it's like the nerve ending. So it feels really good, but you guys actually have like a G spot. So it's like probably like,
oh, you're talking like you put stuff
all the way in there. I haven't done anything like real, like in there.
No, but you could just, even if you just put a finger at the nerves, right? So you've done like little two fingers in, is there?
How come? How deep are we talking? Two? That's a lot for Mike, I think.
Like the top of your fingers. I haven't done it, but Kyla Cobbler was on and she said that's what you do.
I don't know why I know the circumference of Mike's asshole.
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, we should clarify. We are only podcast partners. We're not anything else. Just FYI. I don't know how you know about all these things.
I'm just sticking up for my man, dude.
Wait, so what do you do? What do you like? You just like a little tip in there?
Just like on the outside. You know what I'm saying?
I heard you just touch it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's fine.
It's really just, I touch the arse all the time.
Yeah, you shave. Let me ask you this. I've never done ass stuff. Do you shave your asshole before somebody does that to you?
You talking to me?
Both of you guys.
No.
No.
I know some people do that, and
there's just hair there.
I assume, to be honest with you, have no idea what's back there.
Yeah, I don't know either, to be honest. I'm gonna check tonight, but I didn't even get pubes on the inside of my legs. Like, I'm very blonde hair, so. I like trim my pubes, so I don't know. Like, if they stick a finger in, it's not like they're going. What type of hair is down? What are you talking about? Yeah. How much hair would be there?
I have a lot of hair, but
I haven't encountered too much problems back there other people. So I think you're good. You know, don't worry about it. And,
definitely gotta be looking at my asshole tonight, but I've never felt anything there.
That's, I always feel things down there.
I mean, I felt it myself when I've masturbated before. Sometimes, one time in the shower, I stuck a finger up there just because it felt really bold.
Did you find anything weird? You know, was there?
No,
you know,
it was fine. No,
yeah, chill,
it was
right?
Good. Totally it was chill. Like, help me orgasm quicker because I was like, oh, bold.
There you go.
Katie, what you said reminded me of something that happened to me a long time ago, because you were saying like, oh, blonde hair, you can't really see it. And blonde hair, like blonde pubic hair is like invisible ink. Like, you can't really see it until like it gets wet or whatever. I remember, like, this is when I was like really, like, I don't know, 22 or 23. I was like hooking up with somebody, and like it didn't seem like they had a lot of hair, but I went down there and it was an invisible jungle, my friend. And I said,
I said
blonde hair girls, they be tricky as hell.
Yo,
okay, they be,
it's like, it's like in Predator, you know how the Predator can't be seen, you know
yeah.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But you can only see like the shape of it a little bit until you pump right into it and you're like,
things seem a little like distorted. I was like, oh, what's going on here? Like
like a Van Gogh painting?
Yeah, like I was like, what's it? I was like, run my eye, like, what? And then jungle.
Do you guys mind pubes? Because I know the bush is coming back big time in Brooklyn. I just keep it trim because I like the vagina with the hair. I don't like it naked. I'm like, oh, you see everything. A few of my girlfriends are like, we like to be like a fucking dolphin. I like to be slipping around the place. I don't want any hair there. So for most of my girlfriends, it's a preference of them own. But like, for guys, do you really give a shit what the hair is like down there?
I think that first and foremost, to all the female listeners, I appreciate the style that you feel the sexy most. Does that
okay,
make sense?
Now and the like, true whatever, opinion. Come on, the true right? opinion.
I mean, I do believe that. Like, I feel like a woman who's feeling herself, whatever her style she has down there is cool. Yeah. I just like less hair in general because I don't have a lot of hair on my body. it doesn't need to be like, you know, completely waxed, but I prefer like. Yeah, a little bit of hair is fine, but if it's like crazy, I mean, I'll still fucking do it, but I'm gonna be like, before I
need to
it.
Fold it back when you're going down.
Yeah.
And what about you, Mike? You don't care?
I like having nothing, but it's just like Fumi. It's never gonna be a deal breaker or something like that. It's never gonna be like, oh yeah, you know, like this is a crazy example of like, you know, I mean. Ladies, you guys are the you guys are the composers and the the band leaders here, and
of
I can
humanity.
Only make small requests. Okay,
yeah.
I can make a small like, hey, it'd be nice if you did this, but you could just tell me to shut the fuck up. You're not really doing anything. I'm the band leader, and I'll be like, you're totally right. Do you do you, girl? You know, I can ask you to play a little Britney Spears or something like that, and that was weird. But you know, like you can do whatever you want.
You're the DJ. Yeah.
I had a guy once ask me to grow more bush because he liked au naturel, and I was like, sure, great, I don't give a fuck. So there is, and my another girl I know, she waxes it all off, and her guy she was sleeping with was like, oh, can you, like, he was like, are you doing that for me or for you? Because if you're doing it for me, I'd love bush. And she was like, no one's ever. She was like, I never even had bush before. So I definitely think there is guys who prefer not, who don't give a shit, and then there's guys who prefer bush. But I think in the general scheme, it's most still don't give a shit. Like you said, it's like a preference, but don't care.
Well,
but
let me flip it on you. Like, do women like
right
men with a lot of hair? Because I've had mixed reviews, and it's interesting.
Oh, and then also I have a follow up question for that.
Okay, I will say, I don't really care because I'm just like whatever. But I know that this less hair. Like one of the guys I was with last year had really, really hairy balls, but it was like hard hair and it kind of like stuck into
hair.
It. Yeah. But then the other guy had no hair on his balls and it was just easier to lick and put in your mouth. And he kind of liked that. And then there was a guy in between who didn't manscape, but it was just, he also had softer hair. But I just think maybe I'd see the softer and the no hair was better than the hard hair, but that's not that guy's fault. He just happened to have really hard hair.
Oh, I see.
I sound like a crazy.
That's so interesting.
I didn't even think about texture, you know?
Yeah, I don't.
This is like talking about, like, you know, how do you like your pasta? Al dente or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize this is a whole world worth of discussion.
Fumi, have you ever like completely shaved?
I have for funsies like once when I was like in high school. I just wanted to know what it would be like.
Were you like, this is tight?
I got really, it got itchy.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't do it anymore. But
yeah.
It did make me feel like I was a little boy, which was like kind of funny. Ooh. It was like funny, because it's like, you know, you think about your armpits or wherever you have hair. There was a point, I remember looking in the mirror in like third grade where I did not have hair anywhere, right? I didn't have armpit hair. I didn't have hairs on my balls. And so when you shave it, you're like kind of, you have a Ratatouille flashback, if I may, to the good old days before puberty. And you're like, what? You know, you feel like you're in third grade again, but that's not like a hot thing to say to somebody. So I would not really recommend. I mean, the itching really, that was too much for me, but yeah. Have you done it?
I've only done it once and I did like it, but because the girl I was seeing also did it and it felt like a group project, you know what I'm saying? It felt like something we were doing together. I was like, hey, you're going to shave? I'm going to shave. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Did she even ask you?
What do you mean?
To do that? Because I feel like that's a funny way to interpret what she did for you. Because I feel like maybe she was waxing.
Oh, yeah.
For her
I'm
man.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
no,
it's just funny.
We talked about it.
It's just funny. Yeah. Because if she got a boob job and you got one too, that's like hilarious.
Hey, whatever it takes, baby. You know, so it was, so it was like she did it and then, you know, we were like both did it. And it was like, we only did it like once because it was a pain in the ass. But like,
it was
like cool then because it was like, oh, we're like doing this together. You know,
yeah.
We started.
You mean you physically did it together?
What did we physically do? No, we didn't physically do it together. We did
it
separately. Yeah, but I think we were like, oh, maybe we should do it. But then it just really, you know, that's a lot of work down there. You know, you guys gotta be by yourself and just get it done. And then and then once, you know, we got together, it was fine.
I do think men with hair is more attractive.
I think it is.
Yeah. Like I was seeing a guy and when he shaved it off. One day I came over and he'd shaved it all off, like all around. Because I don't think you really notice with the balls, but the top part I noticed. And I'm like, oh, where did it go?
That'd be weird if the balls were hairy, but the top part was bald.
I mean, it's like, you ever seen a male lion after you've shaved off his fur, you know, or his mane? He just looks sad, you know?
Yeah.
We need that beard, you know? So.
Yeah. And I think like, look, with the penis and the bald stuff, even if you have the hard hair on the balls, like, once you're just not, like, sweaty or whatever, you know, then it's fine. Like once you're, like, also just, like, a bit hygienic, you're grand.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because you want.
Yeah, I think it does. Absolutely. I think, I think the main thing is, you know, get down there, do some shampooing,
Yeah. Also, yeah, I think, you know, going back to honesty, you should communicate with your partner what it is that you like. Because I think it's cool if your girl, you know, like Mike's ex-girlfriend said, hey, I like it. I like it when it's all gone. That's cool. Yeah. I think it's cool to do something like that for somebody. Mm-hmm. That's hot, you know.
Yeah,
but you should you should never assume. You should never go into a first date.
Just think about it.
Yeah, with a huge bush or nothing.
I feel too that I don't know. I don't know if this is has to do with it, but you know, I'm a little bit older than you two, and so I feel that the completely shaving also went along with the low rise jeans phase the world.
Yeah. Oh,
like you know, for a while everybody was like, "Yeah, man, total Brazilian 2000." Like that was like that's sort of like the Von Dutch hat of like pubic hair.
Yeah.
You know, a very specific time, and now people are, hey man, high-rise jeans are coming back, and so is the bush. Mm. You know, I think that's, you know, there's going to be a little bit more of that going on. You know, for some reason, whenever I think of, like, completely shaved private parts, I also think of you know, Nelly. You know, there's just something about, like, it's the same time period, it's the same. You know, I'm thinking of NERD, you know, like that's real big at that.
Yeah, or Christina Aguilera. Remember her? Yes. Low rise. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good point because a lot of those guys had tattoos like right under their belly button, like in a rainbow shape. I know Nelly has one. Nelly had one in the Country Grammar album cover, and he probably had shaped most of it. That
makes
a lot of
sense.
Oh, shit.
There you go. What a terrible time. My God.
I know. Jesus Christ. And now they're trying to say skinny jeans are in. I'm like, fuck off. I have 20 pairs. They're going to be in.
Fuck off.
You can take these skinny jeans from my cold dead hands.
Yeah, I've had the same skinny jeans for like 10 years. They're great. They last long. No, no, no. No, thank you. I'm not getting down with this. I want to ask you one last thing before I let you go. What about like sexting and sending pictures, naked pictures and stuff? Do you do that? Oh, I have two things to ask, actually. Okay, wait, go on.
Okay. Yeah, I started doing that. It is very hot, and I think nudes are cool. I think I think everybody should just take nudes just to feel better about themselves, because like sometimes I take a nude, I'm like, I have a huge dick, which is not true, but it looks like it, you know. And it's like, this is awesome. I'm gonna frame this.
How do you take it to make it look big?
Yes. So well, okay. Well, I don't know about the big part, but I think. This is just general advice for dudes. Like, guys are stupid. Like, don't have your toilet in the frame. That's one. Don't do it in the bathroom. Do it in like a sexier location, like on like in the bed, or like just like a place where you might have sex, right? Like, I think it's or if you're gonna go the dirty route, you gotta do it like public bus Greyhound on your way to Pittsburgh, some dirty ass shit like that.
Oh, shit.
Where it's like so dirty for you, you know. A lot of guys like, I mean, the ones like, oh, I also went to like Reddit beautiful dicks or something, and I was like looking through them to see what would be to see what would be nice.
You did research. You did background research.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta find some best practices here.
Yeah. Best practices.
What are best practices?
I was reading some case studies.
McKinsey study. Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked at the report that the UN did, actually, and it was really interesting.
According to 17 countries, this angle is the most optimal for the female gaze.
Is there a specific angle that's better?
Okay, so what I've heard from just the people I've been sending and getting feedback, it's actually kind of it's been fun to talk to them about it. What I've heard is like, you want to take it at an angle where it feels like the girl wants to do something to it, right? So for example, if a guy is standing up and takes it this way, no girl does anything to the dick from this way, right? But if you take it from like underneath, maybe she's kneeling down, right? Maybe that makes her want to suck it or something. Or like,
hey,
if you're laying down and you're taking it from this angle,
yeah,
she wants to hop on it, right? So like, you can see this is photography 101, folks. You know, you want to engage the audience a little bit. Like, you want to see, you know, obviously you can't control what your penis looks like, but you can, you know, you can control the lighting and the angles. And I think you're supposed to tell a story with your dick pic.
Yeah,
you know.
Still, yeah, yeah. Shouts to the UN World Report on sending dick pics. You know, and you know, yeah, tell a story. You know, tell us, where did the dick come from? Where's the dick going? Where's the dick
struggle?
Give him a little hash.
Yeah. You know what? What's he thinking? You know?
Yeah.
Have him reading a book. He's smart.
Yeah.
Reading a book.
And so, Mike, you've probably never sent dick pics then, right? Because you've been with your wife so long, right?
We've been together. We were together. I mean, there was like camera phones, but it was like, it was at the time when, you know, you took like five pictures and your camera was completely full.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That, you know, so you, if you had to, you would take a picture of you and your friends at the club, and then you only got four left. So you had to be very careful with which photos you were taking. And there was no way to send them. You know, once that photo was on the phone, it was impossible. You couldn't text it to anyone. You couldn't get it off the phone. So if that phone got destroyed, that's it. You lost those phones lost those pictures forever. So we've been together since, there was iPhones and all that stuff out, but like it hadn't become, you know, the data plans hadn't caught up.
It was expensive to send.
It was expensive.
It was a luxury. It was a white privilege.
It was, yes, exactly. You know what I'm saying? Like if somebody sent you a nude, it was like, wow, you're rich. Wow. Huh. I didn't know you're doing this well. Huh. Someone's got the 1,000 data, 1,000, you know, free text messages a month or whatever. You know, you're capping it at 300 kilobytes per month or what? I don't know. Anyways, so I didn't have that. And I actually kind of feel that it's got to be even crazier now because, you know, now people can send shit like in 4K. You know, and take vids and do all of these things that, you know, you used to have like a dedicated, you know, camcorder for. And now you can just be, you know, your phone can do all sorts of stuff. It does sound sweet. And I'm glad people are doing it. And I think it's really important for, you know, once again, I'm talking to my straight dudes out there, you know, before you join the Marines, I think it's important that you as a guy, and I'm going to say this too, as an Asian guy, you feel desirable. It's really weird because it's not something that I think a lot of guys feel a lot, because we are often told there's only one. You got to be like super cut and like look like a, you know, a model, you know, in order for you to be hot. Shit. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have to be like super duper hot, and you have to be like super jacked and drive a Lamborghini in order to be attractive. And so I think a lot of guys, they don't feel like, I can be a hot guy too. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's important that dudes try to feel that way. I know that, of course, you know, there's a lot of guys out there who think they're hot shit when they're not, but part of it is also like accepting who your what your body is and feeling sexy. You know, I mean,
confidence is hot.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I mean, maybe that's why Mike doesn't send it, because he's already been accepted by his wife. Like if he sent a dick pic to his wife right now, she probably would just be like, LOL, you know, that's like,
what is this? I already love you. Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. Stop wasting our data plan minutes. Yeah,
exactly.
So
yeah.
I think I remember one time I used to live in the Bay Area. I used to be like a very hot Asian dolphin guy. You know, I was very skinny, very tan. You know, I wore a lot of American Apparel low V-neck shirts.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And I remember I was walking around and these guys, these like four or five guys, like they were clearly gay, and they were like hitting on me. They were like catcalling me as I walked by, and they were like, oh, hey, how's it going? And I didn't know what to say. I was like, oh, hi, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I kept walking. And later on, I was like, you know what? That was cool. You know, I'm glad that I look
people
hot.
Recognize.
I feel hot, and these guys, you know, they were hot guys and they thought I was hot. And I was like, this is sweet. I felt like that was really important. I feel guys could go around being, dude, you look hot, dude. Yeah, yeah, man. It's important.
Yeah. That's how I felt when I moved to America. Yeah. You know, when people would be catcalling, cause they don't do that in Ireland. And I was like, oh my God, I'm gorgeous. What? And then after comedy, I was like, oh, they just say this to everybody. Okay. Never mind. Oh, I'm not meant. Yeah. Oops. I'm not meant to like this. Oops.
I'm not meant to like this. Really? They don't in Ireland? Really?
No. Oh my God. No one
there's,
would ever
there's
be
no
like,
there's no form of catcalling.
No,
like, I don't think.
I can say 100% no. No one would ever be like, there's no way someone's gonna write in and be like, I've been catcalled, unless it's like swit swoo. Okay, swit swoo. How do you do that? That's the only one. Yeah,
oh,
like wow. A guy will go swit swoo.
I was like, what? Oh, I thought you were saying some Irish shit to me. Dude.
No, like,
wait.
Oh.
Like a wolf whistle.
I mean, that's
wolf whistle.
Yeah, calling. I mean,
yeah, but they wouldn't be like, here it's like, look at that fine ass, or like, long hair, want to smell it. You're like very detailed.
Yeah, very, very specific.
Hair,
yeah.
Smell
long hair,
yeah,
wanna
you know,
that's interesting. We got catcalling in really? Japan, so I find it hard to believe that it's.
Oh,
not
do you?
Possible. Yeah, it's not. It's not like old men on the street sitting on a bucket. Like long hair, want to smell your. It's like younger guys who like hang out in Shibuya, which is like the cool part of Tokyo.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, you know, young, attractive, confident men. So some of them are like con men actually, and they see a hot,
right,
see a cute girl who's not from Tokyo, and they say, hey, pretty girl, like, what are you doing? Like, can I get your number? Like, so there's like,
but those aren't all cons.
That's never happened to me in Ireland.
That's like a thing. Some people say like, hey, let's go to Shibuya, and like, it's called nampa. That's like the verb. So like, let's go do that. There are some con people who want to try to like take pictures of you and stuff, but like, there's a decent amount of people who just hot guys who just go out and do that.
I'm going to Japan.
They are legit trying. Some of them are legit, scams, but some of them are legit. Trying to holler.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. I think I saw this in Japan when I was there. And I was like, I saw something like this happening, but I assumed it was always a scam. I was like, oh, this guy's going to like try to take my kidney or something.
And it scares me too, because, you know, a lot of times in Japanese culture, like, you don't do that. You don't go up in somebody's grill and bother them. I see. Right. It's very, very anti-Japanese. So when it happens to you, you kind of freeze up. And I think a lot of times you end up giving your number to them because like,
right. You're kind of scared. Know what to do, right.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So it's like, it's like a reversed culturally designed thing.
It's the same here. When guys have cornered me, asking me for my number, I've just panicked and given them the real number. And then when they've texted, I've just blocked. Cause it's just like, I can't even think of it. And it's just easier to be like 646-23, you know?
Yeah. I guess you could, yeah. Now you can just like block them later. So it's like, what's the harm? Yeah.
And Sumi, can I ask you a question? Let's say, so you're getting these nudes off these girls. When you stop talking to the girl, or like your ex-girlfriend even, have you deleted those pictures, or do you keep the pictures in like a little wank bank?
What I do is before we start sending them, I have like a it's not a contract, but like I have like a little spiel that I send that like it clarifies that this is consensual and that I'm trying to make it in comedy, and I want to get a verbal commitment that you're not going to like share this with anybody. You can save it for your own personal whatever, but like I'm just trusting you that you don't send this to your friends, and I will, you know, it's respect, and I respect your privacy. I want you to respect mine. Okay. And I have this long thing that I
really?
Say. Yes. And then
we're going to have to read that on the podcast.
I was just about to say you should read that on your podcast. That's amazing. Or you should print and put it somewhere.
And mostly, you know,
t-shirt, maybe. Yeah.
Well, because I'm usually doing it with people who are my age, like, you know, maybe early 30s or whatever. So they're just like, yeah, I work at Google. I don't, you know, I'm not going to like, you know, try to do this. Like, it's fine. I'm not a teenager anymore. I'm not going to show this to my fucking girlfriends. So it's usually been fine. But even, you know, and obviously, like, this verbal contract could be breached, but it's very important to me that I can.
You're upfront about it.
Yeah. Well, I just need to be upfront about it, because then I can relax and have fun, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what I do. But that, you know, but I'm also 31. Would I have done this when I was 24? Probably not. But like,
yeah. Do you do that? I mean, do you like set up like a, you know, send over a little PDF that they got to countersign?
A penis PDF?
Well, most of the guys I've seen, so I've only sent them like kind of like a photo with like my hand and my underwear in like their t-shirt or something, because a lot of time I take guys' t-shirts. But one guy, I sent him like I also researched how to send a classy nude, so it was like super hot, that I was like, I don't really mind if it gets leaked. But that was years ago, and I haven't, like, it's fine. And then the Wednesday night, so Tuesday night before me and the guy ended, I sent him a nude, and he sent me it was our first time we did that, actually. I sent him a nude, and he sent me a dick pic, which he hadn't sent before, and we were like, you know, it was really hot, you know, I liked it. It made me feel sexy. I got on like a chair, and I did one with my hair over my boobs and my like legs crossed. I've got like very thick thighs, so you can't actually see my vagina. And then I was like, would you like a little more? And he was like, you know, I do. So then I sent one with like one hair back and one boob.
Okay, now you're getting goofy. That's hilarious.
Now you're telling a story. Okay. No, where are we going?
You haven't earned two boobs yet. And thank God, because we fucking broke up the next day. So
wow.
That's so funny. He never made it to two boobs.
But damn. I did say to him not to share it to anybody, and he also said, I've never done this before, so also don't share the dick pic. So I think it also that was like a lot of fun for me, but I think for him that was like a lot of stress, like, well, you know, I think that also added to the he hadn't done that. I'm very sexual, he had said to me a couple of times. He's not that big into sex. I think he's like, I don't know, I think he's just going through something. I just don't. Well, anyway,
seems to be a pattern with men in your life, Katie.
Well, that was the one guy. But yeah, no, I pick bad men, but that was the one guy. But it's fine, I'm getting better, I'm shortening the times, it's all good. But that's good to know. So but you delete the pictures afterwards still, or do you keep them in a wank bank?
I delete them, but what I usually do is I just keep them in the Instagram DM. So if I want to, I just scroll back. I don't really save them on my phone. I just scroll back, and then if you know if she wants to, then she can unsend if she wants to. And that's
true. I couldn't masturbate like to a guy that I've ended with or has ended it with me. Like I couldn't a previous lover. that it just it just feels tainted.
Yeah,
it's
I think
gross.
I think the nude is only hot because it's happening right now.
Yes,
you know, I don't know. I think there's an expiration date. Like, sure, you can look at it, but like by that point, you want to just log on to Pornhub.com. You know, so
yeah.
I don't. I'm not like a hoarder, if that's what you're asking.
Well, last question before you guys go. How do you feel about blocking people that you were dating? Now, I know, Mike, you've been in a relationship, so you probably for like forever, so you probably haven't had to deal with the whole Instagram thing. But how do you feel, like, let's say with the last guy, usually I would always just remove their follow and remove mine, because it's so rude when someone unfollows you but you're still following them. So I'd remove mine. But then with this specific guy, just because I felt I really don't want him to reach out to me again, and it had ended so nicely, I just was like, I'm just going to block, because I don't want to go onto his page. I don't want him to come onto mine. I want like a clean slate. But then in my head, I was like, is that dramatic? It's okay to kind of block, right? If you're just like, how do you guys feel about that?
Blocking? I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, that's interesting. You block somebody who was nice. I feel like a lot of times I hear blocking stories about, oh, he or she went a little psycho and I'm a little scared. So
I don't think he was that nice, though. I think, you know, telling me that you've been lying to me about your feelings for 7 weeks isn't super nice. Mm. And I think it was kind of erratic behavior over the couple of days. And I'm sure he is a kind, nice person. He's just going through stuff. I kind of was like, I don't want to get wrapped in. If he can be like, I want to be with you, I don't want to be with you, I want to be with you, I was like, I just don't even want him on my page looking at my jokes, reading into the wrong thing, reaching out to me again when I kind of want to be exited from this. But then I was like, God, maybe it's not good to block. I don't know. I've only had to block an actual psycho before, but not.
I think the block is like it's a pretty bold move. And even though Mike hasn't done that to girls, we've also like had to thought about blocking people on Instagram from the Asian.Asian account for various reasons, you know. And I feel like when you block somebody and they know you block them, is such a statement, and I would like to avoid that at all costs, because you don't know what that person's gonna do now. Maybe they're gonna Google you more now, they're gonna want to see you more, you know.
I don't want that either, it's hard because you're also thinking for yourself because you're just like, you just want a clean slate. You just kind of want to not be looking yourself. And then if you're following the same meme accounts, you're about liking the same thing. I just think it's too much.
That's why I like the restrict feature on Instagram, which means like they can't see anything you do and you can't see anything that they do, but you guys can still follow each other. You can't see their stories. And if you comment on something, they can't read your comments. You can't read their comments. At that point, you might as well just unfollow each other. But it's not, you're not blocked. What I'm saying is, when you block somebody and you find out you're being blocked, it's a statement, right?
Yeah.
And if you don't want to deal with somebody reacting to that statement, the restriction feature just might be a nice softer touch.
I think you're right. Oh no. What do you think, Mike? And for it's good for the listeners, because it is a question that comes up, like, should I block this guy? Should I keep following him? But now I keep seeing his shit. So this is good. The restrict is good to hear.
Well, I think, I mean, you know, I was going to say, yeah, go for the block, because I feel like you need to go. You know, I think it's important to set up very clear boundaries about things, especially if it's a relationship like this where, you know, it's, you know, whatever. But, you know, to Fumi's point, maybe that escalates things. And if there's a softer way to do it, like the restrict thing, that could work. I mean, you know, I think, but, you know, I mean, the equivalent, the, I guess the, you know, equivalent for me when I was single is I mean, there was still blocking. You could block people on like whatever AIM, on, you know, America Online Instant Chat, and you can block people on, I mean, there was Facebook, so we could get blocked on there. And I don't know, maybe it's me, but then, you know, if I got blocked, I felt like, oh well, that's how it should be, you know. I was like, this makes sense, this does make sense. But maybe, you know, maybe some people would get upset about it. But I think if you feel like you need to, you know, emotionally, I think you should be able to do it if you have to.
Okay, good. Yeah, I know. I think both of you are making sense. I know in my situation, we like hugged each other and walked away. It was a nice ending, but just because it was a breakup, back together, a breakup in the space of 3 days, it was just like a lot. And I was kind of like, I don't want him to come back, and I just want space. I don't want to end up in like, I'm very much like a move on, and I don't want him looking at my page and thinking about it either. I think I still have to post something to him because he lent me something, so I'm gonna do that because I'm like a nice person. But I just don't want does that make sense? Well, I think it's just better just go that that door is closed.
Well, I have to ask you. So then, is it a little different though? Because you're sort of like a public figure, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas like other people, I mean, a lot of people, they start off like very restricted, you know, everything's private and stuff like that. But you know, for comedian idiots like us, we're like super public, you know. We'll post, hey, come to my house, here's where I live, you know. Like, so is that part of it too? Because you will be posting a lot of stuff, you know, on all these things.
Yeah, I think what I was thinking even was, for me I was like, there's probably no point to block, because whatever fake Instagram, if he wanted to go look, of course he could go look. It was more just of a, because when we were ending, he was like, when I've sorted my head out and my issues are gone, I'll text you. And I go, don't, like, definitely don't do that. This is, and I kind of just, because it was so erratic, I was like, I couldn't even deal with. But also as well, any jokes I do, I would never do anything about him. And sometimes I do past stuff, and also I just don't want to look on his page either. So it was kind of just an accumulation, but I haven't blocked anyone else. I know I was following the last guy I was seeing. I told him not to like my stuff, and I said, we can keep following each other, but don't like it. But then he still went on and liked the stuff. So then I unfollowed him, removed my follow, and said, hey, I had to do this because, like, I want to be clear of our feelings. And if you're going to like my stuff. Now, I never blocked him, but then with this guy, I'm like, I just feel like I should go one step further, because I don't want any reason for him to reach out again.
Yeah.
Because they always come crawling back to me anyway. And I'm always like,
yeah,
off. Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now I take it back. I think you just block him, because as we get older, you just need to be more clear with your intentions. And if you've blocked and they come back, you can at least be like, well, I blocked you for a reason. Like, you have a record. But if you try to like walk around the bush like I do, like with the restrict thing, it's very possible they could misinterpret that as something else. So there's that. But also, communication is contact, you know, is constant. I think you need to, if you really don't want to hear from that person, you need to repeatedly let him know until he gets the fucking point, you know.
Yeah. And he might never have, but I just was like, kind of, I've had so many bad experiences that I was just like, okay, each one I'm like, how do I learn to make sure that this doesn't happen again? But look, yeah, I just wanted to see if it was, I think a lot of people struggle with that, whether to block, whether to just unfollow, whether to keep. That guy who had a girlfriend that time, I still follow him, but that was more because I was like, I'm not going to even let him know that fucking bothered me, that he was a lying dickhead. I just muted. I didn't restrict. I just muted him, and he stopped watching my stories straight away. But I think it's because he knew he was in the fucking doghouse. But I never unfollowed him, and he never unfollowed me either. But like, also, I didn't. There was no real feelings there. He just lied, and he's a dick. He's also a comedian, so it seemed more dramatic to
right
because it's like a coworker. I just wanted to be like mute. I don't even wanted to give him a reason to be like, oh, Katie blocked me, or
yeah. That's even trickier, because now you might see him in the scene and everything, and it's gonna be a whole other thing.
They're fragile, you know. If you block them, they're gonna write a bit about it.
It's gonna suck.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Thanks, guys, so much for doing this. Can you let the listeners know where to find you guys, and where can they listen to your podcast?
Yes.
Which is my favorite podcast.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
We have a podcast called Asian Not Asian, available wherever you get your podcast. You can find us on Instagram at Asian Not Asian Pod, where we post a bunch of clips. I'm also on there at The Fumiabe. That's Thefumiabe.
And you can find me, Mike Nguyen, on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
And that's it. Check us out.
That's it.
You guys are the best. I love yous.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It was great.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to follow the lads. And if you want to sign up to the Patreon, again, the link is below, but it's the Patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. And other than that, if you could rate, share, review, all of the usual stuff, that would be great. But have a lovely week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.